This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 10:29, it's heading to 10:30 in the morning. You are with the Lins and Sharmila. it's easier at this point to just say that.
This is not going to allay any concerns over whether or not we're the same person,
Lin. All right, you're with Evening Lin and Morning Lin. So I don't know. This is who we are now. In the Istana Negara, the Yang Dipertuan Agong, I believe, has taken his seat, and we are headed towards the swearing-in ceremony of the 8th Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, pretty soon. But we are, in the meantime, going to, I think, speak with our next guest, Professor James Chin. Sorry,
all about
guys.
Tenterhooks here.
Yes, but in the meantime, we do have Professor James Chin, who is the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, on with us. James, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
Very good morning to you.
So let's talk about the parties of East Malaysia. What do you make of GPS's statement that they're not part of Tan Sri Muhyiddin's coalition, but friendly to it?
Well, this is consistent with what I've been saying for the last few days, that if there's going to be any coalition building, GPS will likely look towards Warisan for the same model. So if you look at the last Pakatan Harapan government, Warisan was not a formal member of Pakatan. It was just an ally to Pakatan. So this is exactly what the Sarawak GPS is doing as well.
What about Warisan and Shafi Abdal, who are supporting Tun M instead?
I think the way to look at this is that the game is still afoot. Even though with Muhyiddin being sworn in less than half an hour, there's no guarantee they can hold the numbers together. If we assume that Muhyiddin will be sworn in as Malaysia's ex-prime minister, the next area to be contested will be the floor of parliament, where I'm sure both sides will need to hold a vote of confidence and the other side will try to hold a vote of non-confidence. That's when you will really know where everybody stands. So before that, I think everything is speculation. There's been so many U-turns in the last 48 hours. I think it is a bit foolish to think that anybody can hold on to their numbers.
And so, James, what kind of a prime minister can we expect Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to be? You know, how does he differ from Tun M in both style and outlook?
James, sorry, before you answer that question, I think we are going to be headed to Istana Negara. The live stream is coming from Astro Awani. This is the swearing-in ceremony. So that was a live stream coming your way from Astro Awani from Istana Negara. And that was Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's swearing-in as the 8th Prime Minister of Malaysia. So very, very punctual. We said all along that it was going to be happening at 10:30. There was some uncertainty, I think, earlier in the morning as to what that was going to look like in terms of whether it would proceed on time, whether anything would happen in between. But no, it went ahead as planned.
Well, I think it's all sort of happening so quickly that I'm still trying to process that we now have our 8 p.m., you know, within the span of the last week, we've had a PM and then no PM and then an interim PM and a new PM.
Yes, I think we just saw after his swearing in, Tan Sri Muhyiddin proceeded onto lay his signature onto the document officially declaring him a Prime Minister of Malaysia. So I guess the question of who Tan Sri Muhyiddin is and what kind of a politician and what kind of a political animal and also what kind of strategies and achievements he's made has become all the more important, seeing as he has just been sworn in.
Yes. So just to reiterate, I think what our earlier guests spoke about, what happens next? I'm not counting former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad as an earlier guest, even though we did hear from him. But just to sum up what some potential next steps might be, I think we're looking at the reconvening of Parliament, the recalling of Parliament, or the calling of Parliament for the first time this year. And what may happen there is a vote of no confidence. In the meantime, we're also waiting to see, I think, what that means in terms of whether or not current Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, can be said to command the majority of the House of Parliament, because that was something that was raised earlier by Tun M. Now, I think we are headed back to our very generous guests who have been putting up with all these interruptions this morning. Professor James Chin is back on the line. Again, he's the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. James, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I think it's very important for your listeners to know that the swearing-in was highly unusual. It's never happened before. And I'm referring to the fact that the opposition has boycotted the swearing-in. In all the previous swearing-in, no matter how bad the political fight was, the opposition always showed up for the swearing-in.
Right. Thank you so much for pointing that out. Yeah, because I think in our haste to kind of move back and forth between the live streams, we would have missed that. We asked you a question earlier, and I think we'll just kind of revisit it because it's an important one. What kind of prime minister can we expect Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to be? You know, how does he differ from Tun Mahathir in style and outlook?
I think for the short term, that's the wrong question to ask. I think the right question to ask is, but what are his immediate priorities? Now, of course, obviously, he's got to play the numbers game to make sure that he survives the vote of confidence that's coming up. But I think the two things that will be very, very high on his priority list will be he has to do something about the economy. I think a lot of people forgot that, you know, that billions of ringgit have left the economy because of this uncertainty, and this will have a major impact on the value of the ringgit. If the value of the ringgit goes down, it's going to affect every single Malaysian. That's the first thing. Secondly, people are forgetting that we are caught in the middle of the virus epidemic, the COVID-19. So this is another thing that has to be dealt with very quickly. It's already affected our tourism sector. And if it is not handled carefully, there's every reason to think that our tourism sector may collapse this year.
And of course, to handle all of this, Muhyiddin is going to need his team. So what would the top leadership look like in this Berikatan government? I mean, what everyone, I think top on everyone's mind is who he is going to appoint as DPM, as he'd have to pick somebody who's going to appease both UMNO and PAS.
Right. Well, in terms of the DPM, there's been a couple of lists that's been circulating. I think it's very obvious that one of the DPMs will come from either UMNO or PAS. And the other DPM will probably be Turis on supporters. I think what really concerns me is that the appointment of the DPM is not as important as the appointment of the next Attorney General. Mm. Again, in the midst of all this obsession with the top leadership, people are missing the fact that we don't have an Attorney General now. Tommy Thomas has resigned. And the reason why this is crucial is without a very strong Attorney General, the upcoming cases relating to the ex-UMNO ministers and the rest of the 1MDB cases, they may not proceed. So I think some of the things that happen in the background doesn't look very good for the future of Malaysia.
So amidst this backdrop of uncertainty, what kind of policies do you think we can expect from this new government, particularly on development, given that it is overwhelmingly Malay?
Sure. I think he will try to put together a new stimulus package. He will try to calm the economy. Now, in terms of the pro-Malay policies, I don't expect him to roll them out immediately. He rolled them up in the medium term because he has to consult, obviously, the UMNO people and the PAS people. Those things will come, and when those things come, I don't think it'll be a big surprise to anybody. But the key people to watch is the PAS people. PAS has never been in the federal government before, and the PAS has been very, very consistent. From the first day it was established, he always mentioned the fact that he wants Malaysia to be an Islamic state. So it will be very interesting to see how the past ministers will try to implement Islamic state policies in Malaysia or create policies that will lead Malaysia to becoming an Islamic state. Secondly, the RU355, I expect us to push through very, very hard on this and then put pressure on Muhyiddin to make sure it's passed. All these things, basically, at the end of the day, will mean that Malaysia essentially will no longer be a multi-cultural, multi-religious country, and that we're heading towards a very, very different view of Malaysia that was envisaged by the Sun Tzu back in 1963.
So how would you, I mean, what sense do you have right now of the stability in this new ruling coalition? I mean, do you view it as a stable one?
No, there's no stability, and that applies to both sides. As I mentioned, both sides will try to still play the numbers game because of the parliamentary sitting that's coming up. The big advantage the current government has, or the Myanmar government has, is that they can make a lot of, how should I put this delicately, they can put a lot of offers on the table to people who will defect to their side. There's plenty of appointments to throw around in terms of GLC, statutory boards, and all sorts of stuff. So they will have a bigger advantage compared to the Pakatan Harapan group.
James, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, giving some immediate reactions to the swearing-in of the 8th Prime Minister of Malaysia, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, and I think some insight into what the next few weeks might bring us in terms of policy, in terms of announcements. We are going to keep this conversation going with Jahaba Sadiq, editor at the Malaysian Insight. Right after this, if you have thoughts that you'd like to share, any questions, remember that you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.